How do you make sure, like you said, a tough weekend like this doesn't snowball into anything?
That's what we do, baby. You gotta love this stuff. You gotta eat this stuff up. It's a sickness, and you gotta just. That's what the grind is. We got a really good freaking team. You know, we played crappy on this trip. Kinda feels bad. Kind of pissed off, right? But it's what we do. It's what you sign up for. We'll dig ourselves out of it and get it going here in short order. But we just, you know, bottom line is we didn't play well this weekend.
Yo, what's going on, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of the Morning Yankee Show. It is Monday, June 29, 2026. Disastrous nightmare series in Boston. 4-game sweep. First time since 2018. And all of a sudden, chat, guess I got to walk back a few things that I had said, which is that we're not going to be scoreboard watching the Tampa Bay Rays anymore. Obviously, that is not the case, so I would like to apologize for those previous statements. We are indeed scoreboard watching the Rays because now we're game back of Tampa Bay entering play today. Yanks are back in the Bronx. We'll begin a homestand, 3-game set against the Tigers, off day Thursday, 3-game set this weekend against the Twins. Grisham, McMahon, set to come back. They're probably going to be returning off the IL by Friday. That will go a long way. Defensively, a lot of the issues that we've seen that led to some of the losses in this series, or particularly of course, a series opener, which we talked about, the Cam game. But nonetheless, that will help out a great deal. This is not the true talent team that we always talk about. This does not change anything in regards to the ultimate outlook that we always talk about here on the show. Make no mistake, however, there is no excuse for what we just saw in Boston. I mean, this was humiliating. And the way it finished last night, listen, there was a point where Yanks were obviously coming back and you take a lead, you know, tying it off of Chapman. 4-2 come extra innings, whatever. And some people were saying, like, are we really celebrating not getting swept? At the time, absolutely, because you go into that game, you go into that night, you go into that ninth inning thinking, yeah, you're about to get swept and not looking good. If you could have taken that game, wouldn't have resolved or absolved, the previous three losses. But there's a big difference between losing a series, which is, again, humiliating no matter what, and getting swept. And ultimately, that's what the outcome was here. And listen, again, there's one thing about injuries, and I will certainly harp on that point, that this is the D team that we're playing with right now. Now, listen, the pitching staff was not great in this series. Will Warren laid an egg. Cam, not going to blame him. The home run to Caleb Durbin would not have been even a situation that could have arisen had not been the error by Ahmed Rosario. Yesterday, Carlos Rodon, I thought he looked pretty damn good. I was very excited by the way he looked early in that game. I think his stuff looked terrific. The command was good. And what do you have come, what was it, the fourth inning? An error by Oswaldo Cabrera at third base. And had that play not been made, Boston didn't score those two runs. Now, that doesn't excuse the Durbin home run on Thursday from Cam. That doesn't excuse Rodon melting down afterwards on these errors. So it's not a thing where it's, you know, mutually exclusive to where the pitching is totally excused just because there were errors. No, that's not how that works. With that said, the defensive issues that we've seen are going to be figured out. McMahon back at third base. Listen, even if you're somebody that isn't a huge fan of McMahon, which I understand, although he's been hitting over the last like month or so, or a few weeks prior to him going on the IL with the illness, the defense at third base, I mean, it's far and away the difference he makes with this team and who we are with him at third compared to Oswaldo Cabrera at third, Ahmed Rosario at third. In the outfield, you get Trent Grisham back. That will have Bellinger in left. I want to lay those all out there right now because that's one part of this conversation. But still, no matter what it is, there's no excuse for what we just saw in Boston. I mean, that was humiliating. That was pathetic. And those are obviously words I don't speak too often, you know, in that fashion. But it's one thing, you know, people get into the whole, and I understand this, it's the Red Sox, like, I don't care how bad they are, whatever. Like, you can't lose a series to the Red Sox. Well, that's one side of this. That's more of like the folklore side of this, which is fair. This is about how this affects us long term. And a series like this can absolutely cost the Yankees, whether it be in the American League East, which I'm not so much worried about that, to be honest. What I do worry about is something we harp on all the time, which is the one seed, home field advantage. That is imperative come October, especially for Aaron Boone's Yankees. We've never lost a postseason series to a lower seed. We've never lost a series that we've had home field advantage in, which let's go hand in hand, I guess. A series like this can cost you big time. And if this is ultimately a season that ends in, well, maybe still an American League East division title. All right, cool. If you don't get the one seed, this will be the first series that we look back on. If we don't win the American League East, this will be the first series you look back on. Whatever it may be, losing a series, getting swept by this team, it's one thing about it being the Boston Red Sox. This iteration of the Boston Red Sox, though, is where it's unacceptable. This 2026 team is a team where, whether it be the Red Sox, the Rockies, the Mets, any team of this like bottom dweller ilk of just pure trash, to be honest with you, pure trash, you cannot get swept in four games. If you would have lost 3 out of 4, as crazy as it may sound, like there would have been a difference. Because then I could look at it truly as the defense is what costs us. This ain't going to be the defense long term. And that still remains the case come the ultimate true talent team come October. But in terms of if you would have won last night's game, and it's a shame the way the extra innings transpired. I mean, that would have been a fantastic victory. Wouldn't have absolved the previous 3 losses, but you show some fight. You come back against Chapman. There were some really good at-bats, some things that I really liked seeing. And then, God bless his soul, Fernando Cruz, who I love so much. And the bullpen's been the one aspect that's been actually quite good, like, during the series and just in general lately. Really, like, since Judgment Day, the bullpen has been nails. Bednar was badass last night. Blackburn continues to do his thing where he just keeps the game exactly where it is. Fernando Cruz gives the game away in the 10th inning. I still love him to death, make no mistake there. But he was bad last night, and he cost us that game. Had they have won, had they have, you know, yes, still lost 3 out of 4. Thursday, the series opener, that's a game they easily should have won. The offensive issues, all right, that is a problem. And guys like Bellinger, guys like Rice, it's a shame they're not hitting right now. It really, really is. Now, someone say they picked the worst time to slump. Or you could say that the Yankees picked the worst time to get injured because those guys have been great all season long. And yeah, it's not ideal timing for them to go in this pretty damn rough cold spell, each, both of them, at a time where the Yankees are without Judge, without Grisham, without Stanton, and all that. Well, also a bad time for those guys to be out while they hit their first slump. That was bound to happen. That's part of baseball. So to a degree, that I can get over. Now, that's one thing about results. That's one thing about, you know, guys will go through stretches where they're just not hitting. Judge will do that. Everybody does it. That's fine. Some of the at-bats this weekend were absolutely putrid. Am I worried about Ben Rice long-term? No. And boy, oh boy, does this team need an off day come Thursday. Thank goodness. Yanks are off on Thursday. But whether it be, not even whether it be, like it is purely just they're in a slump. But Rice and Bellinger, we kind of needed them to step up a little bit during this time where Judge is out and Grisham is out. And they haven't done that. Now, Bellinger is a larger conversation to a degree where it's on the road, he really has been bad. And that's unfortunate. Now, there's always a stark difference between like him at the stadium versus him away from the stadium. This year, it's even more prevalent to where it's like he's been bad on the road, Bellinger. Still having a really solid season. Ben Rice still having a really good season. Even after this slump, his OPS is well above 900. Some other things, though. At-bats that we saw from a lot of the mainstay guys. I mean, it's one thing for, you know, like Oswaldo Cabrera, good to have you back. And, you know, a lot of people were saying, start him at third, which, word up, me too. I was of that mindset as well. And I liked the lineup going into Sunday night's game. The error is one thing. But also even just the at-bats. Like Oswaldo Cabrera, let's be real, like, is not a great offensive player by any means. I mean, look at his career numbers. There's nothing there to suggest that he was going to, not that people thought that he was going to be the savior, but even so, to assume that Waldo would give you much offensively in one given day or throughout an entire season or whatever it may be is, you know, kind of very much a tall ask. So that's, I can put him to the side. I can put, Spencer Jones, I'll tell you this, like I know for a fact, the Yankees don't think very highly of Spencer Jones. I've had that confirmed to me over the last few days. They do not think much of Spencer Jones, and I believe he will be traded. And listen, offensively, am I going to judge him based off of what is totally now 3 to 4 weeks in the big leagues? No. But from what I understand and have it now confirmed to me, their perception of him to be, and with the way his at-bats have honestly been looking lately, Spencer Jones is not the answer. But I say that because I can put Jones to the side. I can put Oswaldo Cabrera to the side. The at-bats from some of the mainstays, even while we're without Judge, without Grisham, without Stan, everything that we know, were pretty damn bad. I mean, some Jazz at-bats. Putrid. Now, Jazz got ejected yesterday. I did not mind that as much as Anthony Rizzo did, as much as some people did. I will say, him not speaking to the media post-game, that's unfortunate, because then it just becomes another thing, yo. Then you gotta... It just becomes more of a story that we did not need, because the story already exists, that we just got swept in Boston for the first time since 2018. So, that is... I don't know why Jazz wouldn't speak to the media, bro. It's not a thing where... I mean, I guess he was upset. But I don't think that was like embarrassing on Jazz's end. Particularly because he did not swing on that pitch. I mean, he checked his swing. But say what you will about, like, Jazz shouldn't have been ejected. He, whatever. Fine. But he should have spoken to the media. That's one thing. I don't even care about that. But it's just, come on. Like, what are we doing? Jazz's at-bats weren't great. Ballinger's at-bats were bad. Really bad, honestly, to the point where it's, he must be pretty exhausted, I guess. I know some, you know, older fans might be like, oh, who cares, exhausted, like, give me a break. Like, yeah, word, fine. He's played a lot of games in a row. I'm not trying to make excuses here. I'm just trying to figure, because Bellinger is really good. Maybe it is truly a thing where this year, just if he's on the road, he's, for the most part, not going to be a great hitter. But we've seen him, even if it's not having success on the road, have Cody Bellinger at-bats. And a Cody Bellinger at-bat is a well-fought at-bat, a professional at-bat, and a bat that when he gets to two strikes, you still very much have a chance to make something happen, at least put the ball in play. He was taking some strike three calls. Not a good series for Cody Bellinger. Not a good series for Ben Rice. Paul Goldschmidt, it's like, this is very much a great point to make, I think, or not a great point to make, but I mean, like, something I want to hammer home is, like, I'm not getting on to these guys personally in terms of, like, oh, Rice, you're ass now. Bellinger, you're ass now. And I say it's about Goldschmidt didn't have a good series either, and it's a thing where, you know, when we're struggling like this, you look towards anybody that's truly, like, a focal point of the team, which Goldschmidt is, Bellinger is, Rice is, Jazz is, to step up a little bit in Judge's absence, in Grisham's absence. Now, again, I'm not going at Paul Goldschmidt in the slightest, and I truly mean that. I'm more so just saying, when I look at the offensive issues that we had this weekend, or the at-bats that were so bad, it's not the Oswaldo Cabrera at-bats that bother me. It's not the Spencer Jones at-bats that bother me. It's the guys that will be here come October. And, of course, we'll benefit when we have a full, healthy lineup, of course. But those are the guys that's like, all right, I kind of need a little bit something from you here right now. Jason Dominguez. Now, there's like one good at-bat here, one good at-bat there. Like, the ninth inning comeback was awesome. But a really, really just full-on display of pathetic at-bats by this team. Now, that's something to where that may worry some people. And I honestly cannot bring myself to all of a sudden be worried about Cody Bellinger, to be worried about Ben Rice, worried about any of the guys that we just talked about. Now, Jazz is one thing, but Jazz, everything that we said about Jazz was already said going into this series, where it's, you wonder about his game, and at least offensively, truly, when he's just in the box, how it will translate to the postseason, whether it be his god-awful numbers with runners in scoring position since he's really been a Yankee. I mean, this year, we talk about it all the time. He's hitting like 170 with runners in scoring position. Last year, in a great year, hit 208 with runners in scoring position. And it's not like he's getting on base enough to really warrant a conversation that, oh, it's a worthwhile trade-off because he's dynamic on the base pass, which he absolutely is. Already over 20 stolen bases. What Jazz can do, I mean, speaking of Boston, we saw it in the postseason wildcard series last year. Jazz was dynamic against Boston, whether it be the diving stop to prevent a run from scoring in, I think it was game two, or scoring from first on the Austin Wells game tying or go-ahead RBI single, whatever that was. Like, Jazz on the base pass can be dynamic, but he has to get on base. He's not doing that. I mean, his OBP right now is at a 300, right around there. And he can woo you with the home run. That home run against Scuba was, or not Scuba, against Casey Mize, who we'll face tonight, was huge. But this isn't a Jazz thing. I do wonder, though, about him long-term and in the postseason, how that'll translate. With that said, if Jazz is in a lineup to where he's hitting in the bottom third, that's awesome. But right now, Jazz is another guy that's relied upon while Judge is out, Grisham is out, Stanton is out. I make no mistake about the loss of Trent Grisham, which defensively is indisputable, because whether or not you trust him, I don't even say trust him, you absolutely should trust him, is more to my point, Grisham in center field, but he is technically a below average defender in center now, and, you know, the numbers aren't great, and I was looking for more of a bounce back defensively. But there is something to be said about a guy that just knows a position, first of all, is a center fielder, whether a minus three defensive run save center fielder or not. Trent Grisham is a center fielder, and I trust him out there. That's one thing. And you get Bellinger back there and left. I mean, that'll help out to a very, very high degree. You get McMahon back at third base. I cannot wait to see the real, like, defensively, we're going to have the true Yankees back again soon. We will have Rice DH and Goldschmidt at first. McMahon back at third. Volpe or Caballero at shortstop. Volpe with some good plays last night. We know about the issues with double plays, but he actually turned one last night. Jazz at second base is a good second baseman, more often than not. Grisham in center, Bellinger in left. Jason will be out there in right, and then obviously Judge will return. We know all that. Defensively, long-term, I don't worry about this team. Really not at all, actually. Besides if you were to have Rosario still starting against lefties at third base. I mean, I'm good off that. We already talked about that. Offensively, though, now, we don't know if he's going to return to how he was right away. Chances are probably not, because guys always have IL rust more often than not. But remember how good Trent Grisham was. And I've seen a lot of great tweets going around, whether it be from my guy Earl or my guy Grayson at Everything Yanks, about where would we be without Trent Grisham? I mean, a lot of people, just think about this. And I'm not saying this to, like, call anybody out, by the way, because call me out. I just said that a week ago we shouldn't scoreboard watch the Rays anymore, and now we're a game back. So this isn't a thing where I'm saying you're wrong. This ain't the data for me to be saying you're wrong, I was right type thing, clearly. All right? Although I stand by everything I say about the ultimate outlook of this team. But for right now, we're leaning into what was just a complete shit show in Boston. Where would we be without Trent Grisham? I mean, think about this. Have we enjoyed watching this team over the last week or two where it's been Jones in center, Jones in center, Dominguez in right? That's what people wanted. Don't resign Grisham. Let the kids play. I'm good. Now, Jason, I need some more from him offensively. And we'll have a great game. We'll have a bad game. Defensively, we just know what he is at this point. Spencer Jones is not the answer. And that's not me talking crap about Spencer. It's not. But for right now, we're not getting much power. He had a good week. And it doesn't mean he can't go on to have a great big league career. And that play in center field, I don't bring this up because of that. That was a weird knuckling line drive. I do trust Spencer's defense for the most part in center field. The Yankees don't think he's that great in center, but even more so than not, the Yankees don't look at him as the answer at all, to the point where they almost laugh off the idea of him possibly being a future answer here. So that's not going to happen. I know that for a fact. But again, where would we be if not for Trent Grisham? We kind of miss him now, and there are a lot of people that we're anti that, and we're saying, play the kids, Jones, Jason. If that were the case, if it were Jones and Jason as our true team center field outlook come October, there would be a much different tune in my voice. Not right now, because it sounds pretty miserable, obviously, but in terms of the general standpoint that we always talk about, which is who this team should be and will be come October, with some other things as well that we always talk about. Trade deadline, getting guys back and healthy, LeGrand Hay up, Warren and Weathers to the bullpen come October because you only need a four-man staff, whatever it may be. Thank goodness for Trent Grisham, and we are missing him, and I look forward to him coming back. Now, offensively, there will be a difference made there. I mean, even when Grisham isn't hitting, for the most part, he gets on base. Before he went to the IL, he was hitting. He was terrific from May 1st to the point where in, what was it, early June, mid-June to where he went on the IL. We're sorely missing his bat, missing everything about him. Ryan McMahon, we're missing him as well. But that we know. We made that point clear. Doesn't excuse what we just saw in Boston. And no matter what the case is, no matter what the team looks like right now, which is very much the D team, there's things I can get over and things I can't. To be honest, I can get over Fernando Cruz blowing the game in the 10th inning last night. Individually, just isolated in itself. Because Cruz has been great. And unfortunately, that sort of thing will happen. And it happened at the worst possible time. Some of the at-bats, despite the struggles, Bellinger and Rice this weekend, and other guys too, Jazz. Jason offensively is in this conversation as well, because Jason I consider to be a good hitter. The at-bats that we saw this weekend, I can't get over. I can easily get over slumps, guys not hitting, and a rare bad at-bat every now and then, but not to the level that we saw this weekend from the guys that are mainstays that will be here in October. Will Warren land an egg on Friday? I mean, that was very unfortunate. Very unfortunate. And there's one thing about, you know, the offense not scoring, and that is totally a valid complaint. But also, too, when you're in a hole right away, and this applies to Gerrit Cole as well, but Cole is his own individual case. We'll talk about him just in a little bit. But like, Will Warren, when he gives up those early runs on Friday, and just when he's bad, he looks helpless on the mound. And lately, not even so much to an implosion level, but more so he'll have one bad inning and then he'll not go deep into the game. He ended up going, I think, 5 2/3 on Friday, but you get put into a hole so early, and especially when the offense isn't scoring. I mean, it's just a recipe for disaster. You know, I mean, when you're down 2-0 early, 4-0 early, and it just feels like, man, an insurmountable deficit because of the fact that you're not hitting. And there is something about Will Warren to where, listen, who he is a damn fine number five starter. That's what he is. That's who he is. And that, of course, means he won't be pitching in October starting rotation-wise. But you can't lay an egg like he did on Friday. That was very, very unfortunate. So that's one thing. Gerrit Cole on Saturday. Nothing I saw from Cole has me worried about him come October. Now, if this were September, I would be worried because, shit, postseason would be in a couple weeks then, and Cole's not right just yet. What was very promising and remains promising with Cole is the stuff looks good. So if anything, to be honest with you, here's where I will chill out a little bit. If I were to take something from Saturday, it's a continued promise I saw from Cole that he's going to be just fine. Because what do we know about Tommy John? The last thing to come post-Tommy John rehab and most arm surgeries and IL is always command. Gerrit Cole will figure out his command, and that's very much been the issue in his bad starts, which was, it was a bad June for Gerrit Cole. I mean, ERA over 6, we know about his history in Fenway. Day games, he's seemingly just not as good. Unfortunate for Cole, but it's more of a thing where it's just like, yo, Cole just ain't there yet, and that's because of the command. The movement on the pitches looks good, the fastball looks really good. I think the breaking stuff's starting to look better. I don't worry in the slightest about Cole long term. And one thing I want to say that I find very ridiculous is some of the school takes that I am seeing. Now, obviously, if you've been watching the show, you know that I am a big advocate for acquiring Tarik Skubal. You know my reasonings as to why. The Dodgers, if they were to get him, that would be devastating. Also, not to mention, you put Tarik Skubal on our staff, far and away the most confident I have ever been and will be if we get him, that we will get 28. For obvious reasons, I want Tarik Skubal. All of a sudden, though, I'm seeing people that pushed back on Skubal or wanted nothing to do with him a week ago see Gerrit Cole not look good on Saturday. It's like, oh, maybe we do need Skubal. That's not how this works. It's not how this sport works. And it's shocking to me that people actually allow themselves to think that way, that because one bad start or even a few bad starts of Gerrit Cole 2 months into Tommy John, use that as, we actually do need Skubal because of the way the rotation looked. Like, I'm not trying to be disrespectful here, but it's, do you know how to watch this sport? Because that's not how this rolls. It doesn't compute in my brain that somebody could be anti-Skubal a week ago and then a week of bad pitching. Say everybody in the rotation gave up 10 runs. 1 week of that is not then a reason to be like, oh, now we need Skubal. That is not how this sport works in the slightest. Now, if you were a big Will Warren person and you were under the false impression that he's going to be starting in October, I could forgive you. But no, if you truly thought a week ago that Cam Fried, Cole Rodon is a good enough 1-4 to warrant that the Yankees do not need Skubal, which is totally fair. I have my own reasons for why I do want him. And then now after this week, you're saying, oh no, we do need him. That is very foolish, and that is not how the sport works in the slightest. Not at all. So that's one thing. Not worried about Gerrit Cole. Will Warren, very rough outing on Friday. And there are times where it feels like Will won't, you know, arise to the moment a little bit, whether it be his clunkers last year for whatever reason. We always brought it up as like heavily inflated his ERA, which I don't say inflated because the bad starts exist and you can't take them out, but bad, bad, bad Toronto, LA. I mean, last year that was the case with him, and Friday against a terrible, we cannot get past the fact that this is a terrible Boston Red Sox team. Terrible. Brutally bad, especially when it comes to the offense. And their pitching is actually pretty damn good. But this offense is not one that should be teeing off of you, Will Warren. I mean, that is unacceptable. It cannot, like, you're way, way better than that. And again, he's good for a number five starter. Make no mistake, he absolutely is. And understand, a big role of a five starter automatically makes it a success by default is kind of what Will Warren was last year, which is you make 30-something starts, you give him some innings, and like, you're decent, you give him a chance to win. And Will Warren's been far beyond that this year. There are times where it feels like he crumbles a little bit. And whether that be the results we've seen in some big games, or at times, you can pull a little bit of like a Gene Stick Michael and just see the look in somebody's eyes. And you can just tell, like, he's not exactly Michael Jordan in there. You can see that sometimes with Volpe. Whereas on the opposite end, Cam looks like he wants to kill you. Will Warren doesn't seemingly have that. Nonetheless, whatever the reason may be, he might have just been a bad day at the office. I mean, that'll happen too. He's had a few of those recently. Friday especially, but Will Warren was not good. The offense, we know, was not good this series. And I can get over the Waldo at-bats. I can get over the Spencer Jones at-bats. Jones will be sent down. Waldo will be sent down come the return of McMahon and Grisham. And that'll make us a lot better. Those guys I can get put to the side. Long-term, Bellinger and Rice, I can put to the side. They're going to get hot. Yes, unfortunate timing for them to get into a slump, but also unfortunate timing for the injuries to have happened at a time where they were bound to probably start slumping. Keyword, though, long-term, I can put to the side. This weekend, just the quality of at-bats. Not getting out, not producing, but the quality of at-bats were borderline shocking. I mean, Rice clearly, I think maybe probably mechanically is a little off right now, which that's part of, you know, being in a slump. That'll happen. We're in June, like, Yanks played a lot of games in a row, whatever. The Bellinger at-bats were shocking to me. I mean, that's just not who he is. And I say it in a complimentary way, Bellinger, if you were to be listening right now, which I know you're not, God bless you, I love you. Those were not Cody Bellinger at-bats. Even road Cody Bellinger at-bats. I mean, think about Cody Bellinger a few weeks ago in Cleveland. We've seen Bellinger still have moments on the road, have those professional two-strike at-bats on the road. This weekend in Boston, I mean, not to just be picking on him, like, Jazz was brutal. Paul Goldschmidt didn't have a great weekend, although big at-bat last night at the time to tie that game up. Just offensively, there was a lot that was unacceptable. Some pitching performances that were... I mean, to be honest with you, the big one that stands out to me is Will Warren. Now, Gerrit Cole, sure, but it's like, again, he's his own little case. And I don't take anything from that start to be worried about long-term because it was strictly just command. He'll look great. The movement will be good on the pitches. But then he'll leave a meatball middle-middle, and obviously that's, you know, a recipe for disaster. And Gerrit Cole in Fenway has seemingly just been a recipe for disaster, period, and against Boston. Rodon yesterday, you guys know I'm a Rodon guy. And boy, I was getting so hyped up on the watch party because he looked so good last night. So good. And then you have the Oswaldo Cabrera era at third base, which was very much unfortunate. With that said, however, that is also not an excuse to unravel afterwards. And it's one thing for, you know, Cam to give the homer to Durbin post Rosario errors, plural, on Thursday. But the Rodon couldn't find the plate afterwards. Like the Waldo error is on its own, and then Rodon unraveling afterwards is on its own. In the end, I mean, Rodon was, what did he pitch, 5 innings, 2 runs yesterday? Like, it's a fine start. And with him, too, honestly, long-term, with how good the stuff looked yesterday. I mean, the changeup was great. The fastball had zip. The slider. I mean, Rodon long-term, like,